This episode of G'day World is brought to you by whois.com, the Wikipedia for people. whoiz.com. If you ain't in it,
you ain't anyone.
If you or someone you know is going through cancer treatment and you're looking for a good book to explain the whole process to a young child, you should get a copy of My Mum Has Breast Cancer, written by a friend of mine, Lisa Sewards. It's available from seekbooks.com.au, and you can get a link from the G'day World website.
You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.
Afternoon, Cameron.
Steve!
You got a guitar there, I see. Or here, rather.
Yeah, doing a little bit of Keith Richards, mate.
Do you see him on the Super Bowl? I don't know whether you watched that.
We don't get that over here, mate. We're in Australia, yeah. Steve. Let me explain something, because I know you've lived in the US for a while. There are other countries outside of the United States, and Australia is one of those, and we are different to Americans.
I know, it's just, we used to watch the Super Bowl in the UK. Mind you, I do have that argument all the time when the Baseball World Series is on, right?
So, Steve Lacey, welcome to G'day World. A little bit of background music while we talk. Hey, Steve.
Cameron.
Daytime soapy music, man.
Marvellous.
Today we've got Steve Lacey on the show. Steve has recently resigned from the mothership.
I did. I left the collective.
Oh, mate. How long were you working for Microsoft in Seattle?
Well, in Seattle, I was here. Well, I moved out. We relocated over here in October 97, but I actually joined the company through an acquisition back in February 95. So basically, about 11 years I was with the company.
And you were doing flight sim for all of that, or just part of that?
No. I started with a small startup in the UK, a company called Rendermorphics, and we did basically a 3D graphics API. And this was back in 95, before there was really a story on Windows. And DirectX, I don't know if you heard of that, started up, basically bring gaming to Windows and kill DOS, basically, because that's pretty much what everyone was using DOS for at the end, was for games. And we got bought by them, and our API is what turned into a thing called Direct3D, which is 3D graphics acceleration on the PC. So I was doing that for a bit.
You must have made a squillion dollars out of that.
No, 2000 happened.
Oh no, were you heavily extended?
No, I wasn't at all. It was just, I'd never sold any stock. I'd never sold any of the purchase stuff either, the ESPP stuff, and I was just hanging on to it. Because the price was doubling every year, and my little spreadsheet said I'm going to be filthy rich by 2005. And of course, that didn't happen.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, so the company's been good to me. Was good to me.
Yeah, and you want to tell us about the reasons behind your departure?
Well, so I was working on, in 98 I moved over to the games division and worked on a whole bunch of really cool, interesting stuff there, mainly Flight Simulator. I'd always had a huge love of the product, but so I was working on that, a bunch of Xbox stuff, and worked on a bunch of launch titles and that sort of thing. And then, about a couple of years ago, I was sort of thinking, I'd always wanted to do the get back to the small business sort of thing, get back to, really building something for yourself, right?
Yeah.
The success is going to yourself, not to the man, right? And I wanted to get back to that, and some ideas were floating around, and me and a friend were chatting, and it just started to feel right, you know, especially with, you know, what's going on with blogging and podcasting, and just like the community aspects, and just so much more information out there. Just seems like it felt to me like a good space and a good time to get back in there. And anyway, money seems to be flowing around a lot more freer these days anyway.
It is very much an exciting time, and you know, not from a, hey, the bubble's back, let's milk it for everything it's worth kind of exciting, but right. There's genuinely exciting things starting to happen.
Absolutely, and especially, you know, I don't know if you've seen, there's a pretty interesting article in Wired, and I think it's on their website this month, that espouses why it's really, it's a boom, not a bubble, right? There's real metrics this time, and the capitalization required for infrastructure and just getting yourself off the ground isn't required anymore. So it's real investments into real companies that look like they have real value, rather than like, you know, we're going to rent some vans and drive food around for people.
Well, I like that idea. I wish they'd done that one, but yeah. You know, I think that, you know, that's true. There's more beneath the economics of the business now, and investors are looking for more. But, you know, the flip side of that is the other thing that's different this time around from where it was 10 years ago is we can actually deliver on a lot of the vision that we had back then. You know, 1995,
absolutely,
we didn't have PDA phones and wireless everywhere and broadband everywhere and, mm-hmm, you know, interop between APIs and, you know, RSS and a lot of the stuff that is out there enabling those services now didn't exist, mm-hmm, 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, and a lot of the blockers that actually pulled a lot of those companies down in that time are they're just not blockers anymore. I mean, you really the point there, you know, cheap bandwidth and pervasive bandwidth is really, really
online.
Important.
I mean, my 65-year-old mother is one of the world's great spammers these days. She
says my mother
400 emails a day, you know. Here's a funny little joke. Oh, for Christ's sakes, Mum.
Yeah, I remember the first email I got from my mother. It was about a year ago. I didn't even know she was getting online, but she did through a company, and she was like, "Hey, son, guess what?" And I'm like, "Okay, here come all the spam. Here comes all the jokes again."
Yeah, I had to blacklist my mum, which is unfortunate. But, you know, fuck it, Mum.
I remember
three warnings.
What was the, you know, the old term, you know, how's it go? Oh, yeah, it's always September on the internet now. I think that was the term, harkening back to, like, when all the fresh lot of kids went to college and they got their email addresses for the first time, and Usenet was getting spammed all the time in September. Well, it's like that all the time now.
Hey, before I forget, yeah, mate, I just need to interject, and I need to say a G'day World apology to Jody Miner. On a show I did a couple of days ago, Rich and I were talking about an email that we got from a Jody, mm-hmm, and I, when I googled Jody, I saw some stuff about Jody lecturing on SQL development, and I said to Rich, well, you know, I know it's spelled J-O-D-I-E, but it's got to be a bloke, because let's face it, statistically, how many chicks are out there lecturing about SQL? And then Jody actually rang me yesterday and said that
she tore you a new one.
She did. She said she nearly drove a car off the Harbour Bridge when she heard us talking about her and me suggesting that she had to be a bloke because she was lecturing about SQL. So there you go.
Cam.
Jody Miner is in fact a chick, and she doesn't work for SSW. She works for a building company, a construction company, and she's doing some development and IT stuff with them. But she's a SQL guru, so thank you, Jody, for calling me up when I was having breakfast yesterday and tearing me a new one, as Steve said. Fair, good on you.
severe crow eaten by Cameron.
Well, no, look, in my defense, I did say on the show the other day, look, I have known in my time a couple of, you know, Microsoft consultants, etc., that were females and very good at, you know, that kind of stuff. So I said, look, I'm not saying it's impossible, but statistically improbable that anyone doing SQL development is a chick, but there you go, I was wrong. So good on you, Jody. Mm-hmm. All right, just wanted to get that out of the way. So, mate, well, before we get into the news and stuff of the day, and I'm actually waiting for Rich to finish another interview and come on, tell us a little bit about what it was like being in the gaming division. You know, from the outside, I think, you know, the gaming division, particularly anything to do with Xbox, has to be one of the most exciting places at Microsoft. You know, let's face it, everything else at Microsoft is getting a little bit old and tired and humdrum and, you know, version 27. It's like Rocky films. You know, looking
at
Windows...
there's always new and interesting stuff going on at Microsoft. I mean, like, it's like, I didn't come away from Microsoft with any form of animosity towards the company, because... Say, I really enjoyed my time there, and as I blogged about, it was like, you know, kind of one of the hardest decisions I've made. But there is a lot of interesting stuff going on all over the company, and it's fun to be there. And even though I was working in the gaming division, getting to talk to lots of people over in you know, the MSN space about things and things they're up to and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, in the games division is a laugh. It's definitely fun, and it's different. It's not just like, you know, you got you know, developers and program managers, and you might have a little bit of design or some people working on icons or whatever. You know, we have, you know, fully fledged art teams and lots of creative people, game designers, and yeah, the art. And I've blogged a bit about that in the past as well. And it is exciting. It is fun. It's great. You know, we were on Flight Sim. You know, we're a bit different. we're slightly more different than your average game. We call ourselves a simulation.
Is it? I remember a few years there, Flight Sim was talked about as being the most successful game in history on units shipped. I suspect. Is it still hold that title, or did Halo 2 take it out?
I'm not sure. I don't think it's Halo 2. I think if you look at lifetime sales. Like I say, take this with a pinch of salt. I don't know. I remember asking someone a few weeks ago, actually, and them not getting back to me. But I think actually The Sims beats us these days with all the hundreds of different units and add-on packs and stuff it shipped. The Sims does beat Flight Sim, but in terms of pure units sold, it's got to be way up there. I mean, I can't remember when it first shipped, but like it was back in the 80s. And actually, Flight Sim is Microsoft's single longest running product. There is no other product at Microsoft that Microsoft itself has shipped for that long.
Fantastic. And, I mean, it's come such a long way. I mean, I'll confess, mm-hmm. I haven't looked at it for a few years now, but, you know...
I'll send you a copy.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much. You signed it for me?
Oh, sure. I'll get the team to sign it for you.
Send me two, and I'll sell one on eBay. but it has. I mean, it's an amazing product mm-hmm. you can do now. Are they making it for the Xbox? Is it out for the Xbox?
No. Why? Yeah.
That would seem like a natural to me.
Well, if I think about Flight Sim, it's, you know, you kind of really need like a joystick to fly. And yeah, we actually had it running. Here's me. I left the group and now I'm selling everyone on Flight Sim.
Well, you've been doing it for 10, 11 years, mate.
Yeah. You can use a game at the moment. You can actually use tons of input devices. We actually had this big thing recently where we posted, one of our program managers blogged about the fact that he had got like the PC version of the 360 controller running on it, and everyone was like, oh, you know, that's a game thing, you need to be using a joystick. So we went out and got a USB Dance Dance Revolution pad and hooked that up and did the mappings and was actually flying Flight Sim using a DDR pad, so that was kind of fun. But yeah, Xbox version. The big problem is there's a hell of a lot of controls, right? We actually, the default key mapping, I think, uses every key on the keyboard plus like some of them shifted and some of them with control on as well. And moving that model to a single controller, when you're going through full flight, like trying to control all the you know, the flight systems, the autopilots, the gear, throttles and everything, that requires a lot of input. So there would have to be a whole bunch of thought put into how to make the game more accessible for an Xbox style audience as opposed to a PC style audience. So there's a definite design challenge in there, because, like, you know, Flight Sim's basically been the ultimate sandbox since day one. You know, it kind of miffed us a bit when everyone was sort of like talking about Grand Theft Auto, right? You know, really pushing and being the first game that enables you to play in a complete sandbox, when we'd basically been doing that since day one. You know, you can take off and fly from anywhere to anywhere in the world.
Good point. I never really thought about that before. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the entire Earth is in there, and every single airfield that the FAA and every other, like, every other CAA, the CAA, is it the CAA in Australia? I can't remember. The Civil Aviation Authority. Any airfield that anyone knows about, we have in the product. So it's pretty cool. And that sort of expanse kind of needs to be narrowed down a bit, I think, from the an Xbox style audience. And more sort of like mission related, and like, here's something to go do, rather than here you are at the end of an airfield, go have fun.
Yeah, you want to make it a little bit more, you know, GTA, so you can land your plane and then beat the crap out of somebody with a golf stick.
Absolutely.
Steal their plane. Steal their plane and take off again, you know. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, what was your perspective over the last few years on things like World of Warcraft and this whole, you know, MMORPG, I don't know, what would you call it, revolution, evolution?
I think 5 million plus
people playing that now or something?
Yeah, I think my take on that is, my God, those guys make a crap load of money. It's a great space. I mean, the subscription space is obviously the model everyone wants to be in, right? You know, you put a box out there, maybe you get someone to download something, your cost of goods are really low, and suddenly you've got, like, you know, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million coming in every month. That's quite nice. But then you've got the whole... It's an ongoing enterprise, right? You're now into the sort of the pseudo... We're hitting the same sort of problems that any big Web 2.0 style company starts to face, right? You know, like a Flickr. When you've got hundreds of thousands or millions of people relying on your servers being up, and dealing with that social aspect where, you know, unlike, say, a blogging service or Flickr or whatever, where someone could leave some nasty comments on your blog, someone could come along and, like, you know, take your head off. I mean, and like really like have, you know, give you a bad experience in the game. So there's a lot of interesting aspects like that, where as opposed to like taking a game and sticking it in a box and sticking it on the shelf in a store. It's a different paradigm, but I think one that everyone's trying to figure out, from Sony through the WoW guys through Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had the whole Asheron's Call thing. Then there was Mythica that was cancelled, and I'm not sure what's going on now.
Asheron's Call seemed to die a fairly quick death. What happened there?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I say, it was in a different studio than the one I was working in.
Yeah.
And it was a published game, I think. I'm not too sure about it. I mean, someone else built it for us. We were effectively the publisher there. But it was around for a few years, I think. In fact, my partner in the company, he was a big Asheron's Call fan, and now he's a big World of Warcraft fan. So I'm like telling him, can't do that, must write code.
Steve, I want you to say hello to Richard Giles, my co-host. Richard, Steve Lacey.
G'day, Steve.
G'day, Richard.
Perth meet Seattle. Seattle meet Perth.
Seattle. I've never been to Seattle.
Oh, man, you're missing out. It's a great place.
I'd love to go there. I want to go see Phil Terone and Microsoft Campus and all that good stuff.
Well, come to Gnome Dex.
Gnome Dex. When is it?
End of June. I'm going. I've got my ticket.
We'll see what we can do. It costs a little bit more when you fly from Perth than it does for you guys that live there.
Yes, I can imagine. Actually, it's kind of cool because it's actually the only conference I go to that's actually in my hometown, so that's good. Not having to worry about anything.
I haven't forgiven Perillo for the last time I was in Seattle about a year ago, actually. He was supposed to have dinner with me and never turned up. Left me in the lurch.
Bastard.
Told me later he couldn't get a flight out of San Fran, or he was stuck on a plane on San Fran runway or some rubbish like that.
What kind of excuse is that?
I'll get you, Perillo!
And that was the same time, like, what was it? It was last year. Mick was out for Search Champs, and Scott will put together a dinner and never turned up as well.
Yeah. That sounds like Rob. Good on you. I'll get you, Scowl! Now, I know that outside of your gaming work, you're also a muso, man. You got a band. You were actually on The Rock Show.
We were on The Rock Show twice.
Twice? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are you going to give me a track that we can put into this show?
Absolutely.